To celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ today. Amen?
Amen.
Does anybody know what this is?
It's a box.
It's a box? That doesn't look like a box. It's flat. It's the only Christmas gift some people get. I don't want y'all to miss out. We have these out in the narthex. This is our Samaritan's Purse boxes. So if you would like to participate, please pick up your box today. If we run out, then you can purchase. I was at Hopewell yesterday, and I saw they have some plastic boxes with Samaritan's Purse that are red with this design that you can buy at Hobby Lobby if you'd rather, instead of doing the cardboard box. But please pick these up today, as you have until, I think, November the 11th. To get those shoe boxes in for us. And we'll have more information as things move further. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you will, please register your attendance by writing your information on the flap that is attached to your bulletin and tear that off. Put your prayer concerns on one side, your attendance on the other, and make sure you make a reservation for Wednesday night. The Cub Scouts, which we are the sponsor for, is going to be preparing our meal on Wednesday night. They are going to be cooking, they're going to be serving, they're going to be in their uniforms, and all the proceeds will go to the Cub Scouts, the one that we support. So please make a reservation for Wednesday. I know last week we had scary weather, weren't real sure what we were going to get. And so we did not have Wednesday night supper, but please do make your reservation for this week, and let's help our Cub Scouts out as they come to serve us. Today, as I understand it, there is a REACH team meeting at 12:30.
No, I'll send an email. I'm thinking that it'll be next week.
Okay, all right. So there is no REACH team meeting today at 12:30. So you can take that off your list if you're a part of it. I did want to mention these beautiful flowers. They are in memory of Don Michael DeBoard, the son of Don and Connie DeBoard. And they are just lovely, just lovely. Thank you for those. And also congratulations to TJ and Amanda Weston on their wedding. That was October the 5th. There are other announcements in your bulletin. Please take a look at everything, especially take a look at prayer concerns and things that are coming up this week. Are there, there is one other announcement. I believe there's a youth representative that would like to come and share just a moment with us about your youth trip last weekend. Caleb?
Last weekend, I was a part of the group that attended the Rooted Retreat at Camp Glisten. We arrived in time for the 9 o'clock opening session with an awesome band and a great speaker. He used the same scriptures, Luke 5, 1 through 11, in all four sessions, where Jesus started his ministry, preached his first sermon, and called his first disciples. What was cool about the rest of our sessions by using the... What was cool about the rest of our sessions by using the same scripture, he was able to focus on small parts at a time, so we understood the whole meaning behind the passage. We rocked out to some incredible praise music during each session, and then we were allowed group time with just our group to talk about how we felt about each session and what it meant to us. One time, Mr. Michael even asked Zach what he would do if Jesus called him to be a disciple and never play Fortnite again. I think he's still trying to decide. Saturday afternoon, we had free time and went ziplining, walked down to the falls, and took a nap, only to wake up and see a bunch of people walking around like Smurfs from the Color War. We didn't bring the right clothes this time, but we'll be ready next year. I'm not real sure what to say about the food, because it wasn't camp food at all. It was more like home-cooked food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. My favorite part was the cinnamon rolls. Needless to say, we all had a great time and learned more about ourselves and each other. If it had not been for y'all's support and contributions to Team 316, we would not have been able to attend. Thank you for donating to Team 316. For anyone who is not familiar with Team 316, it's the youth's fundraiser where you are asked to donate $3.16 a week to help support youth retreats and missions. You can pay weekly, monthly, or in one check for $164.32. If you have any additional questions, just see Mr. Michael, by the way. By the way, he told us the next retreat is in February at Lake Junaluska, where we'll get great praise and worship at night and ski Cataluchi during the day. I have a feeling we're going to need more chaperones, though. We really could use your help. Thank you from me and all the youth.
Very good. Excellent report. Excellent report. Thank you, Caleb. Thank you, Michael. And all the youth. Okay. Let's prepare. Any other announcements? Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship as we go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us with your love and your grace. Holy Spirit, come and receive our worship. May it be pleasing in your sight. May this be a wonderful and joyful time of love and grace and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mister is not necessary, just Harold.
That's my southern roots.
Before I get started, I want to tell you one thing that you ought to know. Let me say that my presentation this morning, which is going to last a couple of minutes, a few minutes, is the reason we will run long today. Don't blame it on the sermon. Don't blame it on the prerequisites. Don't blame it on the things that have already happened. It's my time that's going to take a little longer. But there's good news. And we'll promise you a free lunch. So, hope you can bear with it. You know, most of you know that Bobby and I have been in something like 9 United Methodist churches. Well, actually, a couple of them weren't United Methodist churches before 1968. Before we became the United Methodist Church, we're just in Methodist Church. But the familiarity of all of them that we've been in is the methods, the ritual, the service, and the witness that has a lot of meaning in our lives. We have been so blessed by the things that we've seen in the ministries of the United Methodist Church. And that's true for right here in Pine Mountain, 13 years here. So understand, as we prepare for our stewardship campaign, we have many reasons to be thankful for the blessings we've received. Now, I'm sure you've seen around the church the signs that say, "It's coming, October 28th. Well, we all have calendars. We know it's coming. It's right down there, 2 weeks from today. But that's referring to our stewardship campaign. Stewardship of all the promises we made the church. Our prayers, our presence, our witness, and our giving of our treasures. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." 2 weeks from today, Reverend Warren Latham will be preaching our service as he is leading this program that we're going through, mostly referred to as taking a step up. And he'll be leading the service and preaching the message. And on that day, we will turn in our estimate of giving cards. Now, in the bulletin today, to help you make this decision and see where things are, some interesting information. In your bulletin today, you have a card, sheet of paper, that looks something like this. Well, it looks exactly like this, as a matter of fact. I want to help you fill out some missing blanks on that sheet. Some data that's designed for each giver to find where they are, and the giving patterns, where they are in the giving patterns of our congregation, and to prayerfully consider how they may take a step up. Our financial secretary, Peggy Elder, has researched data of our giving patterns for the past year. That's October 2017 through September 2018. Now I'm going to give you the numbers that go above each of those dollar amounts so you can see how our giving units fit. By the way, let me give you a clarification. The letters, abbreviation MRBS, does not mean necessarily individual members, unless, of course, that individual member is a giving unit. In other words, if you're a family who gives together as one family, you are a giving unit. If you're a couple and you give together, that's a giving unit. As well as if you're an individual giving, that's a giving unit. So we're not talking about a number of individuals of the congregation. We're talking about giving units. Okay, ready? I want you to look at the left lower corner of those stair steps. Starting at that left lower corner, I'll give you a number of units, giving units, who have no record of giving. That doesn't mean they may not have given cash, or may not have given in special accounts, or may not have given services. They brought boxes for Christmas gifts, or may not have given food to our pastor's pantry. But they've given, not given any money that allows us to create a record of their giving. And in that number, over that $0, put the number 8. That means 8 regular attendees of this congregation do not have a record of giving at this time. Now, as I said, we'll try to go through these quickly, but in case you get lost, I have a chart that will be hanging out in the vestibule that can give you the numbers that I'm going to call out to you in red there. But let's see if we can move through it. The giving units, they average 1 cent to $4.99. Above that, put 13. The giving units that average $5 to $9.99 per week is 10. The giving units that average $10 to $19.99 per week is 13. The giving units that average $20 to $29.99 per week is 6. The giving units that average $30 to $39.99 per week is 8. Did I tell you that 20 to 29 was 8 or 6? Each, I'm sorry. Both of those should be 8. 20 to 29.99 is 8, and 30 to 39.99 is 8. The giving units, the average 40 to 49.99 is 6. The giving units, the average 50. To $74.99. Notice a little larger jump. That's just the way it's divided down. That $50 to $74.99 per week is 10. The giving units that average $75 to $99.99 is 8. The giving units that average $100 to $149.99 per week is 11. The giving units that average $150 to $199.99 per week is 7. And the number of giving units that average $200 or more per week is 6. That completes this chart, but as I said, this will be out in the vestibule after church if you want to complete your chart, as this will help you determine where you fit in the giving patterns and determine what it would mean. You see, there's a range in each of those steps that you can determine how you may feel led by God to make a step up. Now, turn that sheet of paper over and you'll see a chart that looks something like this to further help you. This is a weekly incomes and amounts of weekly given. If you go down the left-hand column on your weekly income, determine what that is on approximation. Then go across that row till you reach the amount that you're giving. Then go to the top of that row and you can find out the percentage in case you want to see how that fits in and make an adjustment from there. Let's use this example. Under weekly income column, go down to the point it says 800 per week. Assume someone makes $800 per week in income. Go across that row and assume they are giving $40 a week. Find the number 40. Go up to the top. That means they're giving 5%. The $40 represents a 5% giving. Now, I know some of you mathematicians already had that figured out. But let this be a guide to help you determine how you step up. You see, the focus of this campaign is to get people to prayerfully consider how God is calling them to step up in their giving, how God is calling them to step up in their presence, in their service, in their mission, and prayers as well. So you may be asking, as we're going to the 2 weeks from now, when you prepare your estimate of giving card, which you'll receive 2 weeks from now, what is God calling you to do? What percentage of your income is he calling you to do? Oh, we can all quote scriptures where a tithe is 10%. But God may be calling you and your point in life at a different level, even higher. Now, about that free lunch I mentioned. After the consecration service, and there will be a celebration following in our Family Life Center, where we will have a catered meal to celebrate the day and find out what the total calculates to be at that point in time. Now, I'm going to ask the ushers. They have some cards. And if they will hand them out right now to everybody, gets a card, and it's a card for you to make your reservation for that lunch, so we'll know how much food to order for that celebration lunch. Just go down the aisles, if you will, hand out some cards or get across there. Everybody get a card, please. And fill it out right now, because they're going to come back by and take it up. You see, we're trying to reach everybody, and then this next week we're going to be contacting people who haven't already made a reservation, and some others will be helping. So please fill out the card right now and give to the ushers. As you have it ready, hold it up so they can pick it up from you. It up and then pick them up. About finished? Everybody got them up? I'll get these up here. If the ushers will hold those and give them to Rick after the service. You may remember the story of Alice in Wonderland. As Alice was chasing the rabbit, who was late to some event, and she chased him down the rabbit hole in this whimsical adventure. A couple of days later, Alice is wondering where to go and what to happen. She comes to a fork in the road, and in a tree in that fork in the road was a Cheshire cat. Do you remember what she asked? She was lost. Where should I go? Which road should I take? Cat says, "Well, where are you going?" Alice said, "I don't know." "Well, then it doesn't matter which road you take," said the cat. So you see, as we decide where we want to go in the ministries of this church, where we're going to go depends on taking the right road. Please pray that you receive God's direction and finding the road that leads us to a step up. Thank you. Would you please stand as the choir has its choral call to worship, and remain standing for the hymn that follows, number 548, I believe.
Looking toward our Savior's cross. from Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And I realize I jumped ahead. Let's do our affirmation of faith. What do you all believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty.
Seated.
The children will come forward. Miss Kathy has something to share with you. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Harold. And if I were you, I'd just go ahead and eat mine while I was sitting in church, but that's just my opinion. I'm sorry, you can't have cake today. Okay, let's see if we can move on. All right. As we come to our time of our pastoral prayer, I know that last week was a very tough week for everyone. Many of us, we were very blessed here as we canceled things last Wednesday. Were any of your homes or you have family members who are struggling through any of this that you'd like to lift in prayer?
Judy and Rick Marshall.
Bill Champion. Delilah and Mark Davis.
Mary Hoffner.
Mary Hoffner. Okay.
I have lots of employees that I manage that were affected.
Okay. All right. We certainly want to pray for all who were affected. I know that several of you have homes down in Florida near Mexico Beach, or you have family members, and some of those homes were completely destroyed. So our thoughts and our prayers are with all of you and your extended families. There's talk already of how we can help. So there may be some ways that we as a church can help those who are in need. I know my family and North Carolina was hit pretty hard with more rain, and they already had enough rain. So my niece was teasing me, and she sent me a text and said, just give me flippers and a snorkel. So sometimes you have to laugh instead of cry. But our hearts and prayers go out to all of them. Also, I wanted to mention to you that today is also a day that many churches are praying for and lifting up survivors of gun violence. There seems to be a movement in America that we are praying against gun violence and for the survivors of gun violence. So I would ask you to lift those people in prayer as well. Let's go to God in prayer together. Holy God, we give you thanks for this glorious day. We ask you, Lord, to be with us as you already have been. We ask you, Lord, to be with those who were in the path of the storm last week and who are struggling with loss of life or loss of homes. We ask you, Lord, to give them special blessing and help us to know how we might be able to help.
We ask you, Lord, to bless those whose jobs are on the line because of all of the storm. And God, we pray for the survivors of gun violence, and we ask you, Lord, to be with all of them. God, we ask you to be with us, this your church, as we seek to do your will, as we seek to serve you, as we seek to be strong in our faith so that we might better serve you in all those that are around us. We ask you, Lord, to be with those who are sick, those who are suffering illness, especially Jack Story. God, we ask you to be with those who have lost loved ones. We ask you to be with the one whom no one else is praying for, as well as the one who doesn't think they need you at all. God, we ask you to help us to be reminded that we are blessed simply because you love us and simply because of Jesus Christ our Lord. We ask you, Lord, to hear us as we boldly pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If our ushers and our acolyte will come to receive this morning's offering. Let us pray. O God, all that we have and all that we are is because of your love and your grace. Receive these gifts, O God, and may they be a blessing to you and a blessing to those who give them and for the ministries of this church. In Christ's name, amen.
did.
Amen. Thank you, choir, for that lovely meditation. Thank you also, James, for that lovely meditation as well. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, come. Help us to hear your word, God, in such a way that it touches our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, so that we might learn together. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds together be acceptable to you all, O God, our rock and redeemer. In Christ's name, amen. Our scripture this morning comes from John chapter 13. And I want to begin with that. If you have your Bibles, please turn to John 13, verses 1 through 17. Hear the word of God for us this morning. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean, and you're clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Julie Dwyer is an editor and a writer for the United Methodist Communications and has an article, several articles, on our baptismal vows as United Methodist. In one article, she tells of a 78-year-old woman named Ridge Pilcher who joined a church in Maryland at 78 years old. She was excited about the founder, John Wesley's, call to service. And this is what Miss Pilcher said. It was not just an addendum. It was part of the major sense of who Methodists are. Did you hear that? We are servants. That's who we are. You don't have a choice, she said. You have to be involved. Being active in your church means you do. You don't just say. You speak up, you speak out, and you walk out, and you do, she said. Brand new member at the age of 78. I want to tell you about another couple that this woman talks about. Rob and Helen Getman. They're in their sixth year of full-time RVing. Anybody drive an RV? Michael and I hope to be RVers one day. The couple split their time between volunteering in nomads projects, visiting family, and sightseeing. For Rob Getman and his wife Helen, she says, retirement opened up new avenues to serve God. The couple sold their home, purchased an RV to travel together. While they're visiting United Methodist churches all over the country, they met nomads, N-O-M-A-D-S, all capital letters, which stands for Nomads on a Mission Active in Divine Service, or as Rob Getman puts it, Northern Old Methodists Avoiding Deep Snow. Nomads provide volunteer work. They go and help somebody in building. They do constructions or repairs to outreach missions and disaster areas. They serve it, the service fit for the Getman's new RV lifestyle, she says, and was in line with their previous volunteer experience with youth on mission trips. Mr. Getman said that you don't have to have special skills. You come with what you have, and God will give you what you need, and the work gets done. I share these stories with you to encourage you to find the place in our church, in our community, in our world where we can serve as Christ calls us to do, using our hands and our feet and our ears and our mouth and our senses and all of our gifts and our talents for the use of God, of Christ in our world. There's a book that I've read several times, and as I was preparing for this, I thought about it, and I pulled it out. It's called Celebration of Discipline, The Path to Spiritual Growth. It's by Richard J. Foster. Anybody ever read this book? It's actually a great book, and it's about spiritual disciplines. Guess what? Service is a spiritual discipline. Did you know that? Service is a spiritual discipline. In his book, he talks about self-righteous service versus true service. He also talks about growth of humility. He talks about being a servant or just being in service. And he talks about service in the marketplace. I want to focus on self-righteous service and true service. Self-righteous service comes through human effort, expensing lots of energy, calculating and scheming how to render the service to those people. You get my drift? Self-righteous service requires external rewards, seeking accolades from others. Oh, you did such a beautiful job. Your story today was perfect, Kathy, about the woman with the cake, because she did not want any accolades. She just wanted to serve. She served from her heart with what she had. Self-righteous service is impressed with the big deal, being at the top of the scoreboard. Oh, we have to be at the top. Self-righteous service is highly concerned about results, waiting to see if the person or persons will reciprocate, feeling bitter if the results are below the expectations. Self-righteous service picks and chooses whom to serve. As we said, based on the biggest bang for your buck, that's who we're going to serve, because we look really good when we're serving those people. Self-righteous service is temporary. Oh, I'll help this one time, but not on a continuous basis. It's about whims and moods. Self-service picks and chooses whom to serve. It's affected by moods and whims, saying often, well, the Spirit just didn't move me to do that. It's not about that. Self-righteous service fractures community. It breaks community. It causes more issues in the community. It is about the glorification of the individual, putting others in debt to repay for the service, thereby manipulating the outcomes and the people. Self-righteous service is not the kind of service that you and I want to be a part of. We have to be careful. Let's look at true service. True service comes through relationship with God. Deep inside you and I, serving out of divine promptings, serving because the Holy Spirit rests within us and gives us that feeling of, God, how can I help? Seeing a need and filling that need. True service welcomes all opportunities to serve, whether they be out in the open or whether they're behind and back in the background. True service rests contented in hiddenness. That's exactly what Miss Lucy was. She was contented in hiddenness, seeking not to be in the limelight, but to genuinely serve God, no personal glory. True service is free of the need to calculate results, having joy in simply serving freely. True service ministers simply and faithfully because there is a need with no ulterior motives. And true service is a lifestyle. Think about the people in this church, and I bet you'll think of a couple of people who have that servanthood lifestyle. I know the ones that I'm thinking of, they see a need, they automatically fill it. It doesn't matter who it is, where it is. They just go and take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. That's their lifestyle. It could be ours. True service can withhold the service as easily as perform the service. Did you get that? Can withhold the service as easily as perform the service. In other words, it doesn't say, who can I pick on today? I'm pick on you, Robert, today. It doesn't say, Robert, you need me to do this for you. No, it listens to Robert. And Robert says, I'm okay right now. I don't need anything right now. And it listens and is compassionate. That's true service. Instead of saying, yes, you do. Come on, let me take you and get this done. True service builds community. Quietly and unpretentiously, caring for the needs of others. Being a true servant requires and builds humility. Humility is something that we all struggle with. We all need it. We don't all have it. but we need it. Amen. When we serve others, our own humility grows. And oftentimes we receive more of a blessing than what we thought before we did the service. We must be Christ Jesus in the flesh. The results of the discipline of our fleshly desires will grow us in humility. We will feel the freshness of joy and zeal for life, and our love will increase along with our humility, and we will be a new creation individually and as a community of faith. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, they had been walking on dusty roads. Their feet were dirty. And they came into the upper room. And it was customary for somebody to wash their feet. Usually a servant did that. And Jesus knew that it needed to be done. And so he got up and he took his robe off. And he wrapped a towel and he began to wash their feet. Peter said, "Oh, no, 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 you're not washing my feet." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you'll not have a part of this ministry that I'm putting together that God has given us. If I don't wash your feet, then you can't understand what I'm trying to teach you," is what he said, or in my imagination. And so Peter said, "Wash all of me." And Jesus said, "No, I don't need to wash all of you. I just need to wash your feet." And he did. Oftentimes, we are afraid to even touch someone, much less wash their feet. I can imagine right now, if I said to one of you, if I pick somebody out, I can pick Robert out, sit in the park and pick on him. And I said, "Robert, I want to wash your feet." I think Robert, see, look, he's already got his shoes on. I don't have any water water, Robert, so I can't wash them. But you know what would be difficult? Is if Robert said to me, "Liza, let me wash your feet." That would be hard for me. I would let it. You see what I mean? Humility comes when we give in to God. When we allow someone to serve us and we serve others. That's what this whole lesson is about. When we take our vows, and some of you might not have joined the church yet, but hopefully you will. And when you take those vows, but I would say even beyond that, when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you take a vow to do what Christ asked you to do, to follow him. And Christ specifically said to the disciples, "You are to be a servant." Prayers, presents, gifts, service, and witness. Stewardship is not just
can serve, they can be a part. Actually, these three girls are serving because they're acolytes in the church. Whether you want to call it self-righteous service, whether you, I think I got caught up in all of that, and those things are important. But true service is having a heart for God. And having a heart that says, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? That's all we're asking you to do. With your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. Saying to yourself on a daily basis, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, how can I serve you today? Because being a disciple of Jesus Christ is not a Sunday morning thing. It's a 7-day, 365, 24 hours a day thing. So, all that being said, here's what I'd like to challenge you to do. First of all, since I know you have pencils out there, I'd like you to write down these scriptures. I'll email them to you as well. But write down these scriptures. I want you to read them. I want you to be in the Word this week and look for at places in the Word that tell you and teach you how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ with your body, mind, strength, and soul. Write down 1 Corinthians 4, read the whole chapter. Mark 9, verses 33 through 37. Titus, very short book, you could actually read the whole thing, but read especially Titus 1:8 and chapter 3. 1 Timothy, another very short book in the Bible. You can read the whole thing. But look at 3, verse 2. Chapter 3, verse 2. 1 Peter, another short book. Letter. 1 Peter 4, 9. And Matthew 25. This week I challenge you to check yourself. Check yourself. Where am I serving? Where am I praying? Where am I being present? How am I being who God is calling me to be? How am I being the hands and feet of Christ in the world? Am I seeking to build myself up? Or am I seeking to serve with humility and love? As Jesus taught us to serve with love. Dear God, may it be. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As we prepare for our hymn of invitation, let the doors of the church be open so that anyone who would like to join our church by profession of faith in Jesus Christ, or by transfer of membership where you've already made that profession of faith, please come down during the last stanza of hymn number 547, The Church of God United, number 547. Let us stand together.